Our scripture today comes from 1 Chronicles chapter 4, beginning with verses 9 and 10. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, hello, Christ Church and all of our friends joining us today. I'm so glad you're with us for online worship. If you're on Facebook or the website, say hello to other friends in the comments section. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, send them to us. We want to pray for you. If you want to follow along with my outline, you can do that too on the website or the Christ Church app. So we are continuing our series, Powerful Prayer, The Hour That Changes the World. We're 3 weeks into it now, and I continue to be blessed by what I'm learning and experiencing in my own prayer life. I hope you have been encouraged and stirred up in yours. What is prayer? Prayer is simply communication with God. Post communication in the chat. It's our communion with our Heavenly Father. It's our very own one-on-one time with God. Story is told of a father who was teaching his three-year-old daughter the Lord's Prayer. And for several evenings at bedtime, she repeated it after him until one night she said she was ready to pray it herself. The father listened with great pride as she carefully pronounced each word right up to the end of the prayer, where she said, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us some email." We all start somewhere in learning to pray, and some of us can relate to that little girl's experience. Why do we pray? Somewhere deep within the human heart is a natural instinct to pray. In times of distress and joy, something in the human heart is turned heavenward. Something has always been there that causes us to look beyond ourselves towards heaven and the God who created this universe for divine intervention and help. The prayer instinct is somewhat difficult to understand and explain. Somehow, the simple act of prayer links a sovereign God to a finite human being. When we pray, God responds. Difficult situations change. Unexplained miracles occur. But when we neglect prayer, we remove ourselves from the opportunity to see God's power. Dr. E. Stanley Jones, the great Methodist missionary to India, said, "In prayer, we align ourselves to the purpose and power of God. And He is able to do things through us that He couldn't do otherwise. For God has left certain things open to prayer. Things which will never be done except as we pray." That's an amazing thought. Some things won't happen or be accomplished unless we pray. I continue to find great help from Dick Eastman's book, The Hour That Changes the World. We've sold out of them here at the church, but you can order them online anytime. So far, we've talked about 6 of Eastman's 12 steps to fill an hour with prayer. Spend 5 minutes on each of these steps and the hour is gone. These steps have been a very helpful roadmap in prayer for me. Sometimes I don't get all the way through them. Sometimes I spend more time in one area and less in another. But I have a plan, and I don't know about you, but a roadmap, a plan, is helpful to me. So the first 6 steps that we've covered in this 12-step plan are these. First of all, praise. When we start with praise, celebrating God's goodness, His greatness, we take the focus off of our lives and put it on God. Psalm 150, verse 6 says this, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." Secondly, in waiting, silent surrender before God, we quiet our hearts in His presence and experience love. Psalm 46, verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Step three, during confession, we cleanse the temple. With David of old, we pray Psalm 139:23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." 1 John 1:9 promises us, "If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness." Step four, in scripture praying, we let God's word shape and mold our prayers. We stand on His promises. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Step five, in watching, we are aware of Satan and his plans, but we focus on looking for God's work in the world. Colossians 4:2 says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful." Step six, intercession. Intercession is praying for others, standing in the gap for the people God puts on our hearts. 1 Timothy 2:1 says, "I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for whom? Everyone." Step seven. Notice it's only after we've done the first six steps that we come to step seven, petition, a time of lifting up our own personal requests. There's a profound principle here. Our love for God and our love for other people come before our own prayer requests. That's following the great commandment. That's living the Christ style that we talk about here at Christ Church. But God is interested in our personal requests. Remember Matthew 7:7, Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." And verse 8 goes on, "For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened." God wants to answer our prayers, but we do have to ask in light of His will. The story is told of a young engineer fresh out of engineering school reaching the end of a job interview. And the human resources person asked, "And what starting salary were you looking for?" And the young engineer replied, "Well, in the neighborhood of $125,000 a year, depending on the benefits package." "Well," the HR person said, "what would you say to 4 weeks vacation, 14 paid holidays, full medical and dental, company matching retirement fund to 50% of salary, and a company car leased every 2 years for you, say a red Corvette?" And the engineer sat straight up and said, "Wow, are you kidding?" And the HR guy said, "Yeah, I'm kidding, but you started it with $125,000. One of the clear principles about prayer in the scriptures is we do have to make our requests with God's will for our lives in mind. In the Old Testament, we find a dramatic example of petition. In 1 Chronicles 4:9, our text for today, a man named Jabez, who was of the tribe of Judah, shows up in the middle of a long genealogy, a list of descendants in the tribe of Judah. 1 Chronicles 4:9 says, "Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, 'I gave birth to him in pain.'" Verse 10, "Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, 'Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain.' And God granted his request. Now, I hadn't really run onto this prayer in the Bible myself until Bruce Wilkinson, president of Walk Through the Bible, wrote a small book about it in the year 2000, and it became quite popular. Many of you may remember when this prayer of Jabez was something that many people were talking about. The passage from 1 Chronicles 4 is a dramatic example of God answering personal prayer. When we look closely at this prayer, we notice that there are five requests in it. Jabez cries out in prayer, "Bless me," one. Secondly, "Enlarge my territory." Third, "Let your hand be with me." And fourth, "Keep me from harm so that," five, "I will be free from pain." That's the prayer. And notice the text simply says, "And God granted his request." And so, countless people have prayed the prayer of Jabez, asking God to bless them. And you know what? I think it is a reasonable, heartfelt prayer that God understands. Remember, Matthew 7:7 is a promise. "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you." Charles Spurgeon has said, "Asking is the rule of the kingdom," post-asking. It's a rule that will never be altered in anybody's case, says Spurgeon. If the royal and divine Son of God cannot be exempted from the rule of asking that he may have, you and I cannot expect to have the rule relaxed in our favor. We have to define our need. We have to declare our dependence, make our request to God. Praying the prayer of Jabez is simply a consistent way of doing that. Praying the Lord's Prayer is another way, another form of asking for God's blessings. When we ask, Scripture says God hears and answers our prayers. We lift up petitions to God. There comes a time when we boldly ask God to bless us. Step 8. Then there's a time of thanksgiving, when we confess our blessings. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." If we believe God is going to bless us, it makes sense to thank Him in advance. "Lord, I thank you even now for your answer to my prayer. You will do it, Lord, and I continue to trust and thank you and lean upon you. Thank you, Lord, for all you have done, all that you are doing, and all that you will do." In this 5 minutes, how long can we spend confessing, declaring all the blessings God has already given us? And what blessings? Well, think of all the blessings we have in our relationship with Jesus Christ. First, there's spiritual blessings, forgiveness, redemption, the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. Material blessings, food, clothing, shelter, wonderful possessions, making some of us the most blessed people on earth. Third, physical blessings. How many of us have our health or have experienced God's healing and restoring grace? Fourth, eternal blessings, the assurance of salvation and the promise of eternal life. After we lift up our petitions, we have a time of thanksgiving and gratitude that flows naturally from our hearts. Step nine is singing. Worshiping in song during part of our prayer time is another great opportunity. Psalm 102 says, "Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs." There is a strong connection between singing and prayer. 41 of the 150 Psalms in the Bible refer specifically to singing praises unto the Lord. We do it as a congregation, but what about singing during our personal prayer time as well? Singing is a spiritual weapon. Mary Slessor, an English missionary to Africa, said, "I sing the doxology and dismiss the devil." Amy Carmichael, an Irish missionary to India, said, "Satan cannot endure our praise and has to flee." In both the Old and the New Testament, singing was a powerful form of prayer, communicating with God. Remember Paul and Silas in jail, singing at midnight. Remember the children of Israel who often went out into battle, singing as the Lord led them. What kinds of songs can we sing during our prayer time? Well, we can sing a song of praise. A classic hymn is, "Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation." So a modern song might be, "It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise." So we can sing songs of praise. We can sing songs of thanksgiving. A classic Thanksgiving hymn might be, "Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices." A more modern song might be, "Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white." So we can sing songs of thanksgiving. Or maybe we can sing a new song. Perhaps there's a new song that springs forth from your heart. God can do that. He can give you or me a whole new song to sing. Psalm 96, verse 1 says, "Sing to the Lord a what? A new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth." There is wonderful emotion and power that is called forth, that is released when we sing to the Lord in song and in our prayers. So be open, be creative, and see what God will do. Well, we've touched on 9 steps in this 12-step process of praying. Remember, what are we doing and why are we doing it? Well, Jesus asked his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, remember in Matthew 26, 40, "Could you not watch with me for 1 hour?" He wanted them to enter into a time of prayer. Was it too much to ask? No, it wasn't then, and I don't believe it is now, but they struggled. They kept falling asleep. The whole purpose of this series has been to give us some tools, to give us a plan, if you will, to stretch and to strengthen our prayer lives. What would it mean in your own life to be able to fill an hour in prayer? Think about what that would mean for you personally, for your loved ones and friends, for all those for whom God would have you pray. Is there a need in the world for prayer today? The need is greater than ever. And we can make a difference. We can partner with God. I encourage you to take these 12 steps and join me each week as often as you can in the hour that changes the world. Through the amazing power of prayer, you and I can change the world. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus' call to pray. We see in his own life how important it was. We know from the lives of those who've gone before us how important prayer has been. Lord, this is our time. This is our generation. Help us to hear your call all over again to pray. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the insights that we find in the scriptures to encourage and equip us in our prayer. Help us to remember the Lord's Prayer and use it often. Lord, help us to have a daily conversation in prayer with you. And Lord, help us to consider this 12-step plan as a process of growing in our regular communion and prayer fellowship with you. We know we need to pray. We often intend to do it, but sometimes we need a guide. We need a path. We need a plan. So lead us, Lord, in new and fresh times of prayer. It's in Jesus' name we've prayed. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Hey, if you want to visit with me about the message, I'd love to hear from you. Remember, next week, we're going to talk about the final three steps in this 12-step process. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, send them to us. We want to hear from you. And again, thank you for your generosity, your ongoing gifts. Help us to care for and reach new people for Jesus. You can go online. You can use the website or the app anytime to leave a gift. Be sure to take advantage of our discipleship opportunities. Find all the information you need on our website, cumctulsa.com. Don't forget, Jesus was intentional about prayer, and he encourages us to pray. Remember, whatever time you are able to devote in prayer does change the world. So let's just lean into it and do it.
I don't know if I told you, but I am making a documentary about flying.
It's crazy.
I know. Today I'm filming the pilot.
Discover CUMC is a chance to find out more about our church, its beliefs, history, and membership. On October 16th at 2 p.m., we'll share snacks and conversation about who we are as a church and where we are going. Pastor Bob and Chris Miracle will guide our time together as we discover CUMC. Sign up at the Connect Center.
An Emmaus Awareness Lunch will be held October 9th at 12:15 p.m. to give information on how to attend and what to expect. Come learn why people around the world say it's the best thing they ever did for their spiritual lives. If you've been on the walk, please attend and bring potential pilgrims. Sign up at the Connect Center.
It's Bible study time, and we decided we like Priscilla Shire so much that we would join her again along with Beth Moore and Kay Arthur in Anointed, Transformed, Redeemed, a study of David. We are offering classes on Tuesday evenings and Thursday mornings. Classes begin October 4th and 6th. Sign up at the Connect Center.
You can find all of this information and more on our website, cumctulsa.com.
Hi, ladies. I'm excited because it's time for the Women's Fall Bible Study. Beginning October 4th, we'll be doing a six-week study called Anointed, Transformed, Redeemed. And this is a study of David with three wonderful teachers, Priscilla Shire, Beth Moore, and Kay Arthur. And they will lead us on a journey through the Bible, learning more and more about David and how he loved and followed God. Our evening class begins Tuesday, October 4th at 6 p.m. The morning class begins Thursday, October 6th at 9:30 a.m. You can sign up at the Connect Center or email either myself or Tanya Erickson. We hope you'll join us for this study. See you there.